Welcome, everybody. It's good to be with you. It's a windy, kind of a fierce wind of early spring here, blowing over the water and over the hillside. The next hillside over has a big herd of small deer on it that I see just in the distance. And my little cottage sits in a grove of five, quite old. I'm going to try to find out how old. Trees that are called false acacia trees, that are all twisted like something from Sleepy Hollow. And it's very beautiful. It's been a quiet day. And I've been spending some time with these two cons that seem each to touch slightly differently on the matter of how we awaken each other and how we awaken with each other. And what is it we're describing even when we say that? And so I'm interested in what our actual experiences are when we don't have to think too much about it. And so both of these koans, I think, are descriptions of, it can be like this, and it might be like this. And I think it's helpful for us sometimes to hang out with those stories. Can you hear me clearly enough? I see one yes. Is my voice garbled? Because I'm having some connection difficulty here.
You're fine, Sarah, for me.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so somebody just, you know, make a sign or something if I start to, if my connection starts to go wonky. So we have in these two stories, one that is a matter of a sudden transmission from all directions, and what that particular thing might be like, and then one that is a teacher to student transmission, maybe not so sudden. And what about that? What's that like for us in our lives? What happens for us when we hang out like this with each other and with koans and with our lives and in our lives and in silent meditation and singing and the things that we do. So our first one is so familiar to some of you, and yet to me it felt a little different looking at it from this angle. So long time ago, there were 16 bodhisattvas. And it was time, and they entered the bath together. And they suddenly realized the cause of water. They said, "This subtle touch releases the brightness. We are the sons and daughters of the Buddha. This subtle touch." And for me today, this koan kind of came together with that quote from the Diamond Sutra that says, "Abiding nowhere, the heart mind comes forth. This subtle touch." Where does it live? Where does it come from? Abiding nowhere, the heart mind comes forth. Touch, this subtle touch, from where does it come? And that, so there's something about that abiding nowhere that seems really subtle, not obscure, but just subtle. And another way, I gotta turn that off, sorry. No more dings for us. Another way that I encountered it in listening to something today was in response to a question. A teacher said, "Buddha has no country. Where will you meet her?" So if we think about our kind of yearning to be touched, to be touched to awakening, to be touched that deeply, in Buddha has no country, where will you meet her? Where will you touch? Where will you be touched? And this also, you know, this also speaks to no right conditions. You know, we sometimes, I think, okay, I have to put myself in the way of the right conditions, and then I will be touched. and so the koan, they just got in the bath together, you know, ordinary thing, when it was time, when it was their turn. And if Buddha has no country, where will you meet her? Really pretty clearly says, why are you trying to make conditions? You know, there aren't any right conditions. You'll meet her everywhere, and dirty, clean, clear, not clear, deluded, wise, doesn't matter. So part of this immersion is just sitting here, yeah, is just being here right in the middle of your life. And part of it, so allowing the subtle touch that is here, you know, right now. What is the subtle touch right there where you sit, right in this magically conjured big temple of ours. What is it? How do we immerse ourselves? Or not how do, we are immersed all the time. So what's the doing or the not doing of it? The allowing. And part of it, I think, is being willing to be interested in the delusions. Yeah. In the stuff that we think is an obstacle. When we think we're looking for what's shining, that looking for maybe isn't necessary, because our delusions are shining for us all the time. And so being willing to be interested and not trying to stop them. And so this might connect for, I didn't get to, speaking of connection, my connections were not working last night, so I didn't get to attend Megan's session, but I know that some of you may have been spending time with the koan that includes the Buddha of delusive wisdom. And the invitation in that seems so generous and so here, you know, so ordinary to us. How about the Buddha that you've got, rather than the one that you think you might like to find? Which means, and you know, one of the things I love about that story in which the Buddha of delusive wisdom is the one that can bring the young woman out of her samadhi to step forward into her life, is that snap is just like this, you know, it's here, just this, hello. There's something just so lovely about that. And it means relying on the mystery. And so there's something in the 16 Bodhisattvas story. There's something about the delight of witnessing together. And they said, so there's sort of like a chorus, right? And they said, this subtle touch releases the brightness. We have become the sons and daughters of the Buddha. So this is a transmission by your life, for your life, of your life. An omnidirectional transmission. And immersion in meditation is also this. So relying on the mystery feels like just being willing to play, you know? It's not like a big decision, a big commitment. But it is a kind of stepping off into the water. And I've been so much relying on what I think I know, and on what I think might help, and on the direction that I think might be a good direction. And so such and such writer, such and such teacher who seems so charismatic, or any of those things, or my determination, my willpower, all of that is kind of an effortful, directional move. And there's something to me just so helpful about that image of just getting into the bath, you know. And the group thing is interesting for me for a number of reasons, one of which, it's not that easy for me to relax when we're all together. I got to tell you that I felt like Brer Rabbit having to come in quarantine here, you know. Please don't throw me in that there briar patch, because being here alone for a couple of weeks, not a problem. But being completely relaxed and able to be completely present together with, in the middle of the sort of in the middle of the doings, the people doings of a life, more challenging. And yet that's exactly where my delusions get called, isn't it? That's exactly where my delusions have a chance to speak to me. And when I'm trying to navigate the daily interactions. And so getting into the bath together, that vulnerable, even though we're just sitting here, it feels vulnerable to be real together, to be real to ourselves. You know, that's probably more the issue than anything else. Yeah. To be allowed to allow the water, which touches us everywhere, so relying, being willing to sort of fall into the mystery and trust. Do we have to trust? I don't think we have to have a belief about it. But I think having relied for so long on the stuff that we thought was valuable or useful or true, it seems worth relying on how big this all is, how much bigger than my thoughts, how much bigger than my beliefs and my desires and my not desires. Why not rest there and allow the transmission that can come through? And this also means, I think, as I've been sort of contemplating it, it also means offering yourself as an entry place. You know, letting the koan, letting your meditation, letting your life, letting your world come through you, so that it's sort of reminds me again of that Rilke poem, of the ninth Duino elegy, letting earth come up invisibly through us and be seen as us, so that the transmission, so that we are the transmission. Am I willing to release control in my meditation so that the transmission of what is can just come through me easily with some kind of extraordinary inventiveness that life has? What if it's not my business how it comes through me? In the meditation, what if I don't have to care how it comes through me, but only to allow, to welcome it? Like water when I get in the bath. Trusting that. And trusting that. And so this is a related sort of way of thinking about it. To trust that the light is not diminished by coming through you, by coming through me. Saying that, I can feel how I often don't believe that. I think it will be smaller by the time it gets through me. It will be distorted in some way. It won't be quite right by the time it comes through me. Well, how else is it going to show up, you know? And why would I believe that the light would be diminished by being expressed through us? That's just a kind of weird assumption. Because what if the light has to come through us, you know? What if that's how it becomes visible, even though we can't see it in ourselves? This subtle touch releases the brightness. My feeling it releases the brightness. It might need us. And so this koan actually comes as this story comes from the Surangama Sutra, in which 25 bodhisattvas tell their stories. And I haven't looked that up. I just found that reference. And I keep thinking, I gotta look up the Surangama Sutra. Has any of you read the Surangama Sutra? So many koans refer to it, so it's time. I'm going to go find it. But anyway, the bodhisattvas tell their awakening stories. And so others apparently in these stories, aside from the 16 awakened together by the subtle touch of the water, some are awakened by hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, thinking. And if you think about that, those, the subtle touch of all of those as the, what's releasing the brightness, and you're not sort of stuck in the sort of ladder of the consciousnesses and how, you know, pretty soon this will lead to consciousness and then it's all downhill from there. We don't have to go there. We, in this sense, we can just receive that blessing. This subtle touch releases the brightness. And that, when we sit, that's what we can invite. You know, that's what we, that's the welcome we can give, which doesn't seem like too much to offer. To put down our kinds of aggression towards ourselves, mostly towards ourselves, right? It's, that's not it, you know? Oh, I keep doing, blah, 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 you know? And if we give that a rest, then the subtle touch of this light in the room, the wind outside, the furnace, the tulips in a vase, the ache in my heart over the deaths of people by violence, the joy in my heart seeing little baby Vivian, the fears that might arise about what might come, all that just comes and touches me is what's offered, and what's offered is the transmission. Trance comes through, comes across, comes to and through and beyond me, touching. It's touching. John said this thing that I kind of loved about this. He says, you're down in the before of things. You know, you've heard me talk about the just before, but that way of saying you're down in the before of things, I just loved. And so let's do that. Let's sit down in the before of things for a little while. I only have a glass bowl for a bell, and some of you probably has something a little more melodious. Anybody have a bell at their hand that would like to ring?
I can get one, just a second.